from Matthew 14. I could tell you a lot about the bishop, but I want to make sure to give him time that we've already cut into, and I want to make sure that you hear the word from him. But what you need to know about Bishop Marcus Johnson is not only is he the founder and pastor of New Harvest Ministries in Baltimore, Maryland, and the vice president of the Multicultural Prayer Movement with hundreds of churches in Baltimore, but he's also a great friend. He has traveled along with me to multiple countries, and when we need an adult in the room, we have Bishop Marcus Johnson to have the covering over us. So thank God for the spiritual chaperone that God has given me. We've traveled to Cuba, Nigeria a couple of times, Dubai, South Africa, and soon in just the spring here, three other countries we'll go to together. So you just need to know that when I'm on travel, God has provided me with a spiritual chaperone, a brother in the Lord, along with someone who challenges us with God's word to step out and believe God more and more and more. Now, he did write a book, so you can learn more about his story. If you were here a few years ago, we had him preach, and he told his story. And I'm sure he won't tell it all today, but he'll tell you some of it. But if you want his whole story, you've got to get his book, Watch and See, A Journey into the Revelation of the Miraculous. Now, what he did is he signed each book, and he wrote a personal note in there. And he said that whoever gets the book, I've been praying that that note is for them. So if you do go out of the lobby here in Columbia, Maryland, and you get one of his books, then that word is for you. No trading books. You can't trade words, okay? The word is for you, all right? And we'll make sure to get some up at our Owens Mills, Reisterstown campus as well. Now let me introduce to some and present to others the Reverend, Bishop, Prelate, Apostle. Oh, why are you looking around? Come on. Bishop Marcus Johnson, welcome to the stage of Bridgeway Community Church. How do we give a warm welcome to our guest?
God bless you and praise the Lord to everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my family church in Columbia, Bridgeway, and to the Bridgeway family in Owens Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. It is certainly a privilege to be back with you again, and I certainly want to introduce to you my wife of 41 years, Ronay Johnson. Please stand. And seated next to her is my mom, 84 years old. Wave your hand, Mom. You don't have to stand up. And then we have our Deacon Goss and his wife and his daughter and son are here. Wave your hand so they know who you are. We're just grateful to have you here with us today. I am really honored to be here. As I said in the 8 o'clock service, I really consider it an honor to be with my friend, your pastor, Dr. David Anderson. And a quick story is that several years ago, the Lord spoke to me in March of that year, and the Lord gave me a word, check this out, for Bishop Desmond Tutu. And I'm thinking, okay, God, how in the world am I going to get this word to him? I don't even know how to get to him. But I hit it in my heart. And then that summer, Dr. Anderson invited me to a dinner meeting. And I attended the dinner meeting, and he invited me to share my testimony of the 2,400 pounds of sheetrock that fell on me and how I had 9 major surgeries, died twice, and crossed over to the other side. And the Lord talked to me and gave me an assignment to come back and to declare to everyone that heaven is a real place. It's a real place. I never went in the city. I stood outside the city, but I saw them inside, and the music was like nothing I could describe, and the celebration and so forth. And I saw my grandfather and my great uncle. I saw them there with some others, and yet here the Lord sent me back. And so I'm telling this, and this lady sitting in front of me says, my father needs to hear your story. And so I says, okay, that's fine. Who is your father? Thought she would say Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones. She said, Bishop Desmond Tutu. So when she said that, I almost passed out with a coronary. I couldn't believe it. So she says, I'm going to get back to you because my father needs to hear your story. And so I thought, okay, she's probably not going to get back to me. But it was a nice gesture. Well, later, a few months, Dr. Anderson says, I want you to go with me to Cape Town. We're going to see Bishop Desmond Tutu. I says, oh, my God. So then the word came he was ill, and he probably would not be able to come to the conference. And so I said, God, I know you didn't give me a word in March for him not to get it in October. And so when we got there, they said he's still ill, but God made a way. He came to the conference, and then it was so many people, I couldn't get to him. And so I started getting a little depressed. And Dr. Anderson says, have you gotten to him yet? I says, I can't get to him, all the people. Dr. Anderson took me by the hand and plowed through that crowd. And the next thing I knew, I was standing right at Bishop Desmond Tutu, and I was paralyzed with fear. I couldn't open my mouth. Then I said, loose that tongue. And I got in his ear, and a picture was taken. I think Janice took a picture of that. And I got in Bishop Desmond Tutu's ear and told him in October what God told me to tell him in March. And I just want to give God the praise. I want to thank him. And it sets the stage for what we're going to talk about. I want you to understand that God doesn't forget anything. And God uses our circumstances to prep us for our assignment. And while we're trying to figure out, how am I going to survive this situation that I'm going through? I want you to know God already has a roadmap for you. And so don't get stuck in the circumstances of the moment. It's all a part of God's plan to prep you for what you're going to do. And that's what he did in my life. Because I thought the accident was really a disruption of my journey. And my prayer was, Lord, get me back on track. What I didn't realize was that the accident was sent to track my route into my destiny. That I needed a personal experience and encounter that would be so cataclysmic, if you will. That accident completely discombobulated our lives. We were getting ready to buy our first home. And we had already begun the process, and now I have an accident. And after being qualified for the house, check this out, now I have the accident, and my income is cut in half. So whereas my wife and I combined qualified for the house, now the Lord shows us the house, and now I'm not qualified income-wise. But God did it because God wanted me to know it's not your income that's going to get you in that house. It's going to be favor. And favor will give us what we don't qualify for. How many of you know that God's favor will get you in places you otherwise would never get into? So just for a few moments, I want to talk about faithfully walking upon the water, or wow, walking on water. And the text puts it this way. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the prayer earlier. I want to thank you for those souls that came and completely submitted to you. Now, Lord, speak to each of us and show us how to navigate our lives into our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Walking on the water. Today, the Lord is challenging us. We're the chosen ones. We're the believers. We're the elect of God. He's challenging us now to step into the impossible. He literally is instructing us to defy the natural order of reasoning by directing us into the realm of the Spirit, which is a super ordinary or supernatural life. Now, understand that most of us are comfortable doing what we can see, what we can reason, what we are experienced with. God is now calling us into a realm where you cannot see in the natural, where you cannot reason in the natural, where you have not gone before, but it's where he's bidding you come. He's deliberately calling us into the realm of our incapability. Now you would say, why would he do that? God knows our inability to achieve his command. And yet he still says, come. Why would he do that? Does God take a delight in seeing us fail and fall? No. What God wants to do is God wants to stretch us beyond our own ability. And he's literally requiring of us something that only he can do. But he wants to do it to us so he can do it through us, so he can do it for us and for somebody else. And when God finished doing what he does, everybody will know, can't nobody do me like Jesus. That's my testimony. Literally, what God required of me was impossible of me. And yet God accomplished it because he just needed a vessel that was willing and trusting. Listen, God wants us to use our tongue and to confess his promise, to speak it out of our mouth. And let me just give you an insight. You will never see it until you speak it. You've got to be bold enough to speak it out of your mouth. That means literally you've got to prophesy and you've got to call those things that be not as though they were. Now, when you do that, what you're really doing, you are calling it based upon what God sees. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is God's reality. And when we speak God's reality, his reality becomes our reality. Somebody say, yes, Lord. This message is challenging us to leap into 2020, into the supernatural, into the spectacular, and to experience what God has always designed for our lives. Now, it means you're going to have to leave some people on the shoreline, because there's some people that are going to tell you that doesn't make any sense. You're going to fail. It's not going to work. And they're going to stay where it's safe. But God is calling you to get in the ship, and I'm going to take you somewhere where it will be exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. And some of the people that are on the shoreline are going to want to come and join you when they see you soaring. I'm going to tell you, go for it. Let me give you the background for the text, and then I'm going to give you a few points in a few minutes. Listen, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, the story is told of Jesus walking on the water. But it's only Matthew's that talks about Peter also walking on the water. Now understand that there was a circumstance that had happened prior to this that sets the stage. What was it? The circumstance was that John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who was also Jesus' cousin, was murdered. He was beheaded by Herod Antipas. And why was he killed? Because Herodias, Herod Antipas' wife, was angry with him. She was angry because John called her out. About what? He called her out about her incestuous, adulterous marriage. She was the daughter of Aristobulus, and she then married her father's brother, Philip, and they had a daughter, Salome. Then she divorced her father's brother, her uncle, and then married her father's other brother, Herod Antipas. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a hot mess. She went from uncle to uncle. Look, keep it all in the family, right? And so John the Baptist called her out and said, this marriage is incestuous, is sinful, and God is not pleased. Well, she got so angry. And listen, when folk don't want to repent, they typically will get angry. She got so angry, she wanted him killed. And so Herod Antipas would not kill her, have him killed, because the people respected him as a prophet. So he had him put in jail. But it was then at Herod's Antipas' birthday party that he had his daughter by marriage, his niece really, Salome, to do this erotic dance. And it so thrilled him until he said to her, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And so her mother, Herodias, who hated John the Baptist, said, tell him you want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so Herod Antipas, he was horrified because he was afraid of John the Baptist. But yet, as the leader, he was afraid not to keep his word. So he had John the Baptist beheaded. And as a result of that, Jesus' disciples heard. And they went and got his body and buried him. Then they went to Jesus and they told Jesus, your cousin, your cohort in ministry, John the Baptist, is dead. So then Jesus, just like you or me, said, let's go away from the people. Let's go into the desert so we can grieve. And so they go into the desert, and the people followed them. They followed them because they knew of Jesus doing great miracles, and they were interested in seeing him bless them and do more things. So they followed him into the desert. And so what did Jesus do? He healed all of their sick while he was grieving. I want you to know that sometimes the best opportunity to minister is when you're hurting. Sometimes the best opportunity to minister is when you don't feel like it. And so he ministered to them. And then it was evening time, and he said to his disciples, let's feed the people. The disciples said, come on, Jesus, it's 5,000 men plus women and children. It's about 25,000 people here. How are we 12 going to feed all these people? And so Peter's brother, Andrew, said, there's a little boy here with two fish and five loaves of bread. And so Jesus wasn't intimidated by the small amount of resource, because Jesus is the source. And what the source does, he resources the source. And so Jesus blessed the food. And then as they distributed it, it multiplied. It multiplied until the Bible says that everybody was fed and full. And yet there were 12 basket loaves of fragments. They ended up with more than they started with. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We often say, I would do this, but I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough clout. God is saying, all you need is to give me your lack. Let me bless it and watch me multiply it. And I will cause you to accomplish what you could have never done in your own life. Real quick testimony. When I was in the hospital, because while I was a patient, sometimes I felt like I couldn't accomplish anything. But while I was a patient in the hospital, this man wanders in my room. I was paralyzed at this point, bedridden. And the man wanders in my room. He had on a hospital gown. And he began to talk to me, and I began to talk to him. And then the Lord said, minister salvation to him. So I gave him the plan of salvation and prayed with him. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And after he did that, the nurse comes in the room and says, Mr. So-and-so, we've been looking for you. Where have you been? And so they escorted him back to his room. And about a couple of hours later, they came down the hall and closed all the doors. And the Lord said to me, I just called him home. And so when the nurse came in the room, I said, did someone just expire on this floor? She says, how did you know? I said, was it Mr.? And I called his name. And she says, yes. And then the Lord reminded me, you were his last stop. And I used the accident to designate your location, because you wouldn't have been here during the night. So sometimes we go through stuff because God is only relocating our destination. He's relocating us to the place where he's going to use us. And I believe when I get into glory, I'm going to see him. And I believe he's going to say to me, thank you for allowing the space and time to introduce me to Jesus Christ. So now let's talk about these specifics here. And so now the crowd is encroaching upon them, and they see Jesus doing the miracle, and they think he is able now to lead a revolution, and he can free us from the Roman rule, and then he can feed us, and he can give us all the things that we want. They didn't want Jesus for a spiritual reason. They wanted him for a natural reason, and they wanted to make him king. And Jesus knew he could not be made king until he went to the cross. And so, therefore, he said to his disciples, get in the boat and meet me on the other side. Let me just give you a little tidbit here. If Jesus tells you to meet him at a designated point, I want you to be real clear. Hell can blow up in your face, but it won't stop you from getting to the next destination. And the reason why the Lord tells you where your next destination is going to be is to give you confidence that come hell or high water, you're going to get there. Somebody sitting in this house right now, you got a promise from God, and nobody is cooperating. But I want you to know something. You're going to get there. Listen to this. So then Jesus, after feeding the multitude, forced his disciples to get into the ship. They got in the ship. And then Jesus went into the mountaintop to pray. Now, it's interesting. Jesus knew they were going into a storm. It would be one thing if he didn't know, and he said, oops, go call them back. But he sent them deliberately into the storm. Why would he do that? Because he wanted to teach them something about who he is. And once you learn who he is, then you can discover who you are. And he was going to teach them that they were more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved them. And the way to teach them is to put them in an impossible situation and then release a miracle. And that's just what he did. The storm erupted. The winds were blowing. The rain was beating upon them. And they began to scream and to screech and to yell and to holler because it was obvious that they were about to be killed at sea. And then Jesus walking upon the water. Of all places, he walked right by the ship, just like he's walking right by you. He's walking by you on your job. He's walking by you while you're in the doctor's office waiting for the test results. He's walking by you when your kids won't act right. He's walking by you when your spouse is unfair to you. He's walking by you when it looks like what you need, you can't get it. He's walking by and the waves are roaring and it looks like it's not going to work. And then Jesus appears and they thought it was a ghost. Why a ghost? Because when you don't walk by faith, you walk by fear. And when you walk by fear, you see by fear. And so fear says a ghost. Faith says it's Jesus. I'm here to tell you right now, there's no way he would send you in a storm and not show up. He was in the mountaintop praying for you. He was praying that your faith would fail not. He was praying that you would trust him, that you would invite him into your dilemma. And so I need you to understand that the first essential in walking by faith is to know Jesus is praying for you. You got to know that. that the Holy Spirit that's taking your prayers and editing your prayers, because sometimes we don't know what to pray as we ought, and we may pray the wrong thing. So the Holy Spirit lets us pray. He takes the prayer. He edits it. He deletes some of the words. He adds some words in there. He changes the punctuation, and then he gives a perfect prayer to the Son who's interceding on our behalf. Then the Son takes the perfect prayer and gives it to the Father, and the Father never denies the Son. So you need to know that even though you're praying the best you can, when it gets to the Father, it's perfect. And you need to know God's going to say yes. Listen to this. So the principle is, secondly, to walk upon the water, observe Jesus in your storm. He's doing a show and tell. He's showing you what I'm doing, you do. You're terrorized in the ship. Jesus is saying, I want you to get out of the ship and I want you to do what I'm doing. I used to think as a little boy that if I had lived in the Bible days, that you know I would have had a better opportunity of living a Christian life. Well, I rethought that. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have central heat. They didn't have cars. No, you want to know the truth? We are really living in the best time that you could live in the earth. This is because we have the experience of the scriptures. We have the experience of the Old Testament. We have the experience and the truth of the New Testament. And now in this modern age, through technology, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. But I want you to do what I do. So Jesus walked on the water. What's the significance? If you walk on the water, you're taking authority over it. As long as they stayed in the ship, the water was in control. And as long as you stay in whatever the container you're in, your career or whatever your assignment is or whatever your circumstance, if as a patient in the hospital, that's okay to get you started. But there comes a time you've got to step out of your limitations. You've got to step out of the container that's trying to keep you held within a certain bounds. And you've got to take authority over those waters that are trying to drown you. Let me tell you something. The water has enough sense to know who has authority. And the water knows who it can drown. And the water also knows who it has to support. I need you to understand that when Peter said, Jesus, if it be you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. When the word come proceeded out of Jesus' mouth, it became a platform on the water. And when Peter stepped out of the water, what did he step on? He stepped on the word of God. He stepped on come. And every time he took a step, he was stepping on Jesus' invitation to come towards him. Peter was walking towards Jesus, and every step he made, he was mastering the water. I had to do the same thing when they told me blood pressure 270 over 230. You're taking over 100 pills a day, trying to control the pain, and there's no way your spine is compressed. You'll never walk again. Over a ton of sheetrock crushing you. They said, we're just going to make you comfortable. And by the way, stop telling your wife and family to have prayer in your room. You need to be getting them ready for your funeral. But I heard God say, come. And so sitting right there in Johns Hopkins in the wheelchair, and they waiting for me to die, God said, Marcus, get up and walk. But in order for me to walk, I had to get out of the boat of a patient. I had to get out of the boat of my diagnosis. I had to get out of the boat of my circumstance. And I'm here to tell you, when God said it's time to walk, I felt nothing from my waist down. What's the point? Miracles are not based upon what you feel. It's based upon what you believe. And the Lord needed the doctors to diagnose me so it would be recorded and documented. Spine compression. Severely damaged, blood pressure out of control. There's nothing we can do. All the top doctors had examined me. And one doctor in Buffalo, New York said, don't come back. When you get the book, you'll read all the details on it. You'll die on the plane. God is saying, I can now heal you because now you're sick enough. And some of us are wondering, God, what's taking so long? Why don't you turn this thing around? Why don't you fix it now? God is saying, I'm going to fix it. I just needed to get bad enough. I needed to get darker. I needed to become more difficult, because when I step in, I'm going to turn this thing around. It's going to be from midnight into day. I'm going to sweeten the pot. And so when God said for me to come, I got up out of that wheelchair in front of patients, in front of the nurses, the ones who thought I was going to die. And there I stood up in the name of Jesus. And you know one thing about God? God likes to have witnesses. And there were witnesses there who knew my condition. And then I started walking. And listen, the doctor came in the room and couldn't believe it. Ran to the hospital telling the doctors, you got to come meet this man. They were coming in my room. I'm in my underwear in the room. And they're coming. There he is. There he is. But listen, God needs to borrow somebody that will be inconvenienced for a miracle. God needs to borrow somebody that will be willing to step out of your boat and walk on the word of God and not drown. I'm going to tell you a little secret. It is impossible for you to drown when God say, come. There's no way he's going to forsake you. Didn't he say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? God is prepared to escort you into your next victory. He needs you to invite him in. And when Peter asked and the Lord said, come, then Peter stepped out and he walked on the very thing that was threatening him. He seized the opportunity and God ordained the storm as the backdrop, as the stage for his miracle. And then I need you to know, not only is God guaranteeing your victory, God is protecting you from any possibility of loss or failure. I walked back to Johns Hopkins and Kernan Hospital and University Hospital, all those hospitals where I were. I go back now, not as a patient. I go back to minister to patients. And when the doctors see me walking down the hall, they point and say, there's the patient, Mr. Johnson. And I believe God is doing that. Because God wants them to know that he does his best with our worst. I don't know who I'm talking to in this house today. I don't know who it is that I need to encourage that you have been on the brink of throwing in the towel, on the brink of just giving up. And I want to tell you, you can't give up. You are at the threshold of the best of the best. It's about to be unfolded right before your eyes. Don't be weary in your well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not, if you don't quit. Leave the other disciples on the boat. None of them were willing to step out of that boat but Peter. Peter said, I know we started off together, but there comes a point in a time when you got to step out on your own. There comes a time when you got to leave the crowd, leave the familiar, leave what is comfortable, and step into the uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you that not only did God bless, not only did God heal me, but then God set me up in the same community that he healed me to found a ministry. And so New Harvest is located right in the neighborhood of Johns Hopkins Hospital. Isn't it interesting? The place they were expecting me to die is the place God has sent me to offer life to others. That's the kind of God we serve. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Walk on your water. You will not die. But what you will do is have a praise of wow. Come, Dr. Anderson, and take them where they need to go. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to walk on my water. I shall not die, but live to declare the wonderful works of the Lord.
Amen and amen. You will walk on the very thing that is threatening you. Bishop, thank you for the word of God. You know, when Bishop was here, you can take a seat for a second. When Bishop was here before and he told his testimony, what we didn't know is that there was a woman in the audience sitting right about over here, and she's a part of Bridgeway. I just didn't know it. And she was one of his nurses at Kernan. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She was here this morning.
I know she came and stood in line.
When we were shaking the hand, she came in the line, and I said, "You're my nurse." And she says, yes, and you heard her when she said, she said, "We had to give you so much pain medication."
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to her, "But look at me now."
He looked pretty good, doesn't he? So when he said, "Dr. Anderson, come," I ran up here because I didn't know. I thought it was water, but then it became a platform, and now I'm standing on what threatens me.
Yes,
come
sir.
On, somebody.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Eli, would you come on up? We're going to go to the lobby. We'll see you there. Remember, you can grab a book in Columbia next week in Owens Mills, Reisterstown. What do we say to Bishop Johnson one more time?
God is good. Come on, give God a big hand praise. Owens Mills, we love you. We thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and do what you do. For everybody who's standing here for a few minutes, I want you guys to know we got Bridgeway at 5 right here. If you want to find out some more information of our church, just go over there. There's a sign that says 5. We got you over there. And we just want to continue to encourage you to let the Spirit of God guide you, inspire you. I heard somebody say that the ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water in them, the water that gets in them. Don't let none of that foolishness get in your way. Embrace God and embrace everything that God is doing. Amen. God bless everybody in this place. Keep them, cover them, protect them, guide them, inspire them, and give them strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.